Hi, I'm Andrew Burton. I'm the editor of SearchDisasterRecovery.com, and I'm here today with Jeff Bowles to talk a little bit about disaster recovery automation, specifically automated failover and failback. Jeff is a senior analyst with the Tenacia Group. How's it going today, Jeff?
Andrew, just great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So first off, what is automated failover and failback, and who needs a solution like that?
Sure, Andrew. Automated failover is the process of automatically moving an application to a standby server during a failure or service event to preserve its uptime. It can be part of a high availability approach or part of a disaster recovery approach, depending on where the second system is and how it is used. I want to be clear here, though, we're talking about automated failover, and that excludes many DR approaches that rely on a manual trigger. Generally, users will want a system like this if they are trying to build a downtime-free environment. Such approaches come with some caveats. There's often some complexity involved and some serious trust in your architecture and that you are turning over control to an automated process that is dependent upon some mechanisms like heartbeat, et cetera, running in your environment. Today, you choose automated because you have very little downtime tolerance, and there will be some complexity, cost, and risk that goes with that choice. Make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so what are the major vendors in this space?
Well, you know, with that broad definition, there's obviously a spectrum of solutions involved here. There are software and hardware approaches that can be used for high availability, even to the point of including those rather unique redundant server designs by NEC and Stratus, but also including HA clustering software from many different vendors. But for the rest of this conversation, maybe we should refine that definition a bit. I'll leave this in your hands, Andrew. How about we pick either HA clustering that automatically protects workloads with close proximity failover, or maybe DR failover?
Yeah, well, definitely. Since it's for search disaster recovery, let's focus on the DR failover stuff. How about like a shorter list of more DR specific vendors?
Sure. So the list here is still pretty long. I won't do everybody justice with my quick flyby, but there are a few different buckets with vendors who stick out. On one hand, you have the basics of VMware's Site Recovery Manager, SRM, for virtual environments that today orchestrates a lot of failover, but still requires data synchronization underneath. SRM can basically turn replication from a whole bunch of different vendors into failover if you have a virtual environment. Now, with VMware SRM, we're kind of in a gray area here. I'm still putting it on the list, because while it is highly automated, once it begins, it still requires an administrator click. And it will incur some significant downtime during the transition as VMs are moved and started up at a remote site. Even so, working alongside things like EMC's Recovery Point, Image, or Falcon Store's NSS and CDP technology, SRM can be pretty powerful as a DR-oriented failover and failback automation. But SRM still requires some intervention, and if you're looking at truly automated and really low downtime, there are a few other solutions all in this, sort of two buckets as I see them. On one hand, there are application-based approaches, such as Microsoft's Failover Cluster, which can be used underneath workloads like Exchange and SQL Server, or Oracle's Data Guard, or others, depending on the application. And on the other hand, in the other bucket, you have a bunch of host agent type approaches from the likes of CA's Exosoft stuff, to DoubleTake, to Marathon Technologies, and the list is a whole bunch longer than that. Basically, these solutions work by synchronizing data between hosts using a heartbeat from a management server to hosts and then conducting a failover if one goes away. I'll kind of leave that at that.
Okay, cool. What about anybody, any up-and-coming vendors or technologies, anything you think people should be keeping their eye on?
Well, you know, more recently, you also have a bunch of cloud-oriented vendors coming into space to aim to replicate or recover an environment in the cloud. I think Doyen's, for example, is a reputational leader in this space today. But the enterprise-geared service providers are all chasing this space with an assortment of well-integrated kind of custom solutions built from various different technologies on the market. You know, folks like TerraMark, for example. And we also have a bunch of cloud gateway storage vendors who are chasing this space with various technologies. And backup vendors are in that bucket, too. They're increasingly shuttling data off to the cloud where it can be recovered to a DR server, like Commvault stuff. Those solutions aren't nearly to the point of being fully automated yet, but in the next couple of years, there are some vendors to kind of watch in this space. So you can see that this is a very complex space, right? But for truly automated failover and very low downtime, I'll point out once again, it basically boils down to application-level technologies like Microsoft Failover Cluster or agent-based approaches. For bigger sets of technologies, you can almost construct something pseudo-automated with low downtime with some of these newer technologies on the market and things like SRM and replication underneath. And that's kind of what it boils down to.
Okay, great. So say you're not going to do it in the cloud, and you're going to set this all up on your own. There's obviously pretty considerable investment in hardware, setting up a site to fail over to. Do you have to have identical hardware at your primary and DR site for something like that to work?
No, not necessarily. And that's where server virtualization and the cloud both hold tons of potential. When you pair those things together with the ability to replicate data in between environments, you could use a much smaller environment at your remote site. You don't need to worry about keeping the hardware in lockstep with your primary site. Since virtual servers will run on different hardware, you can envision using older servers or a cloud provider's entirely different infrastructure to host your failover site that you may never actually use, right? So it's kind of there for failover. Meanwhile, even when it comes to highly available stuff, there's also some potential for using that standby hardware to fulfill other roles until the time of disaster, so keep that in mind, too. If you have a tool that can automate shutting down low-priority workloads, you could run some low-priority stuff over there. But in answer to your question, yeah, there's lots of opportunity today to get away from having to have a fully identical set of hardware at that remote site. And that's where a lot of the appeal of VMware's SRM tool set resides, is that you can get away from this lockstep environment with duplicate hardware.
Okay, great. And so it sounds like, there's, like you said, it's a very complex space, and there's a lot of challenges that these types of tools face. But I just have one more question. How do products like this solve bandwidth and latency challenges and also make sure that data stays consistent?
Sure, that's the biggest challenge with these tools. That's a challenge that storage vendors have been hard at work tackling with their replication tools for many years. That's why you see tool sets like Site Recovery Manager leveraging those tools underneath them. VMware hasn't gone out and tried to carve out data replication themselves. They're using other vendors' technologies and just doing the orchestration on top. The latest storage replication tools have some powerful capabilities, too. Things like EMC's Recover Point, Pop and Store CDP, and Maj's stuff, or IBM's flash copy replication technology, for instance, can mark points in time and make sure, even across high latencies and low bandwidth links, that the remote side of a solution can recognize a known good point in time and recover to that point, even if it means loss of the very latest data. That ultimately is a trade-off you have to consider. If you don't need to have the very latest data up to the second data and failover, then these solutions offer tremendous capabilities. They do this with a variety of powerful data transmission optimizations, including delta-only transmission, capture the changes from this point in time to that point of time in time and only send that stuff. They compress that stuff, they deduplicate it, and they can synchronize snapshots with only a little bit of metadata that says what blocks belong to what snapshot. So there's some powerful optimization technologies they can use in transmission. But that being said, if you're looking for true automatic failover and minimal noticeable downtime, you're going to be throwing lots of money still at high bandwidth, low latency, dedicated type links that can handle synchronous data transmission at very high rates, because that's the only way you're going to get down to that up to the second recovery. In such cases, there may be optimization technologies that you can throw at it to get more out of limited resources. Ask Riverbed, for example, what they do on top of EMC SRDF, for example. They have some tremendous statistics out there about what they can do with that protocol and optimizing transmission and taking latency out of the transmission. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, even with optimization technologies at play, if you're trying to move a lot of stuff across a link and get up to the second failover, it comes down to brute horsepower to get to no data loss, disruption-free style failovers.
All right, Jeff. Well, that's it for me for today. Thanks a lot for taking the time to speak with me.
Andrew, you bet. Anytime. Great topic.
Okay, cool. And for more information about disaster recovery automation and other disaster recovery topics, please visit searchdisasterrecovery.com. Thanks for listening.